Can't say it much better than that, can you? Let's pray again. Let's pause a minute. I'm going to be silent for a moment and thank God. Praise Him. Think about what praising Him with all your life means. Let's pray. Lord, it was all for You. All praise belongs to You today. Thank You for the great privilege of being able to lift You up in praise. In Your name, amen. So I'm not Richard Brown, and this is not my outline in the notes today, so you're not going to have holy heartburn when you leave today. That was the sermon title. I love the title, though. It's often we joke in my house about that. If we go out and eat and we forget to pray to thank God for that food, I tell him, up, we're going to get holy heartburn. And so, but where he was going is great, and he will get to go there sometime soon. And he'd much rather be here than home with laryngitis and possibly a little more, hopefully not. It's been a rough week for Richard, so we'll pray for him. And Ken, our interim pastor, is gallivanting around the country. No, he actually had a commitment before he accepted a position here at a church, and I forget how old the church actually is. Maybe he told somebody here. He told me, and my memory fades sometimes. It's well over 100 years old, and he had the honor of being either the guest speaker there or one of the special guests there today, and he felt like that was something he had to do. And so he misses you and loves you, and Richard does too. So you're stuck with me. I'm Eric, if you don't know me. I am our student pastor here, and this was not the latest notice I've ever received to preach. The latest notice was at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning, and the service was at 10. And so the Lord got us through that. So Richard must have been really sick, because about 5:30 yesterday afternoon, he texted me and said, I'm waving the white flag. He'd give me a heads up that it might happen. He said, I'm waving the white flag. You're in. Which gave me time to spend doing some advanced preparation, as opposed to saying, God, which sermon that I've preached sometime over the last 29 years do You wish me to pull out and preach today? So you are getting an original from God, except for the scripture. And my heart is full right now, because I just got back from Chattanooga Southeast Conclave. It's a student ministry conference that's been going on for decades now, and it's great to go and hang out with all my old friends. Believe it or not, there are a lot of people my age in student ministry, and we love it, and we know that's where God's called us, and there are a lot of young guys too that I could be their dad. And we hang out together, we go to workshops, we worship together, and we go eat good food. You know, Chattanooga's food game is pretty strong. And I've got to hit the treadmill. That's all I'm gonna say about that. But I received a lot of tremendous, as always, encouragement and just raw data about what's going on in our culture right now. So this message stems from that, and stems from me reading through a lot of Colossians over the weekend. So if you want to go with me on your Bible app or in your paper Bible, you can go to Colossians 2, and that's where we're going to camp out for a little while today for a brief message. And we're going to talk about identity. And we're going to talk about culture. Gave this sermon the title, Identity Rooted, Not Robbed. Now, do you have a good imagination? If not, struggle along with me for this. Imagine soup. Imagine soup at a buffet. But who eats soup at a buffet, right? Somebody does. They put it there. And so you have a few soups there. And you look at the soup and you decide what you want. We'll dig into that in a minute, but culture in soup. Let's imagine culture as soup. And let's get weird. Let's imagine it's soup we swim in every day. So we're swimming in culture every day, this culture soup with all these ingredients, and it might be like a buffet with a good soup and salad bar where you have choices, and it's a lot of choices actually. But we swim in culture as we consume various forms of print and electronic media, as we stream content on our devices, on our TVs, as we scroll through short videos and short posts, and as we stream a program or a movie. My wife and I are entertainment buffs. That's what we love to do. We stream, we watch, but unfortunately, over the past few years, we'll start watching a lot of things, and then for one reason or the other that doesn't seem to align with God's plan, or really doesn't align with God's plan, we'll have to stop watching it. Oh, that could have been such a good program, because the culture soup we swim in is not always tasty to our Lord and to our Christian values. So culture is auditory soup for our ears, through our earbuds, through our Bluetooth speakers. That's for those of us that love music. We like beats, we like rhythms, we like melodies, and those messages of those songs become part of our daily identities. Now, culture is what we read on a screen or on a paper. We get information, whether it be on what's going on in our world that's serious or entertaining. Culture is a soup buffet. We're the diners coming in, carrying a fresh bowl and a fresh soup spoon, and maybe we put some crackers on the side, and we're ready to fill it with the soup that has whatever ingredients in it that we believe will satisfy the hunger we have inside. Now, my friend Walt Mueller has been around a long time, and he, years ago, founded a youth culture research organization to help parents, and it's called the Center for Parent and Youth Understanding. And he helps parents understand the culture that our students are in. But it's a culture we all need to understand, even if you are like, I'm older than that, I'm beyond youth parenting, or I'm young, I'm not married yet, or I'm married and I don't have kids yet, and I'm scared of having teenagers. Just remember, you were one, and teenagers are pretty amazing people. I get to be around them a lot, and it's a great privilege. But either way, Walt's ministry is built to help people, and I got to sit in with Walt in one of his workshops. I read a lot of his books, a lot of his blogs, but I've never sat in with a workshop, and I got to sit in and listen to him. And Walt was talking about this whole buffet soup thing. And he talked about the large containers. And you can imagine these if you've seen these soup containers at restaurants, these large containers designed to keep the soup hot. And if it's a self-serve, there's a ladle, right? And either the handle sticking out of that nice little slot somebody invented in the lid, or it's over to the side. And I get a little creeped out about germs with that and maybe slide on. I like the other. But what people do is they will open that up even though they read, oh, this is some soup. And whatever the title is, they open it up and they maybe pull the ladle up. Maybe you've done this, I have. And you look at what's in the ladle. That looks good. That smells good. Another good reason not to eat soup at a buffet. Some people go and take it in like, oh, no thanks. And please don't breathe out for a moment. And either way, we're checking out what we want to consume. Now, those ladles are by the soup. Hopefully it's got lids and hopefully it's hot. And we decide what we want, right? So Walt compares that culture of the soup buffet that changes daily in good buffets, by the way, to this. What's in the soup today of culture? Because culture soup changes at a rapid fire pace. We listen, we look, we sample, we decide what's appealing to digest. But in all that, what is our filter? What is your filter? What is my filter to what we're consuming and the messages we're receiving through culture today? See, the problem is a lot of culture soup today, it looks and tastes good when you first sample it, but if you experience it a little further, it ends up being about self and about self-power. Me, 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 I don't sing, but me, 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 I, all about self. Even some of our new worship songs today, I'm thinking, are they singing to God? Or are they singing about me? Am I worshiping myself? Not all of them, but some do. And I'm going to switch the station. I'm going to go to Spotify and listen to Skillet, which some of you would be disturbed by because they're hard rock Christian. Or I'm going to listen to something else. If I hear a song, it's like, I, me, 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 because I want to hear you, Lord. I'm here for you, Lord. This is all about you, Lord. So self is invading every part of culture. And in addition to that, culture today is about having your own truth, my own truth. And this simple, sweet little phrase that is some of the worst advice you'll ever get. You ready for this? Somebody already knows what I'm going to say. Follow your heart. We'll look at a verse on that in a minute. Culture soup today, it's about individual identity, helping define who we are. Because our culture, what we consume, defines us to an extent, to a large extent sometimes. And our culture soup today has been monetized. And so we're not just taking in images, we're seeing ads, we're seeing commercials, we're seeing images that make us think about things, and there's a product attached to that thing. And if we buy this, we'll feel good, we'll feel fulfilled, we'll find our identity and our purpose, and we'll connect with the world by buying this. That's what they want us to see. So my friend Walt is an avid researcher. He's a brilliant sociologist, and he's a committed follower of Christ. And we don't always disagree, and I'll get on Facebook, and he'll post something one day because he likes to push buttons, and I like to push back, and so I'll push back. But I know that what he says, he's going to have deep convictions about, but I also know this. He knows what he's talking about. So when he digs into hours and hours of research, he has discovered that this is really what's happening today. And if you think about it and you look and you dig into it, you'll see like, yeah, that's a good point. I think that he is right on that, because his gentle yet firm warning to us at the end of that workshop was that our Christian faith is under attack by culture. We're in direct opposition to most everything in culture today. I'm not telling you to go I'm certainly not telling you to throw your $2,000 phone out, and I'm not telling you to shut things down. I'm just asking you to consider what your filter is. Consider what soup you're consuming at the soup buffet. So there's a big problem right now. The culture that we have, we've already seen a little bit of it. The culture that we have is trending faster and faster toward too much self. The me, 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 me. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, what did Jesus say about that in the Bible? Did Jesus say, come follow me? Or did he say, go and follow yourself? That's the question we must consider. Is that what he said? Follow me? Or no, just go follow yourself. Go follow what you want to do. See, marketing today is saying follow yourself, and I'm going to prove this in a minute. It's saying follow yourself, and Jesus is saying come follow me. As we know in the scripture, when he called the first disciples, he said come follow me, and they dropped everything. They're like, hey, wait a minute, I got to go take care of this. They just got up and like, let's go. And so they went. So narcissism is emerging now, and we'll define that. Most of you probably know what it is, but just in case, I'm going to define it. But narcissism is emerging in a larger and larger way. This is a major culture clash of our identities, who we are. Narcissism is this. It's excessive interest in oneself and one's physical appearance. Now, you want to look in the mirror and you want to look good, right? You want to make sure you hear that phrase, the best version of you. The only best version is not found in anything we see in an advertisement. It's not found in any hollow human thinking. It's only found in Christ. So here's what's happening and what's creating this narcissism, especially in young lives today. And I'm heavily into social media. Those of us who see that, we have to be cautious, because we're seeing somewhere between 4,000 and 10,000, and yes, that is an accurate number when I finish the sentence, 4,000 and 10,000 marketing messages a day. If we're scrolling on social media, we'll stream in something, driving around, looking at billboards, everything, every image, every word, every sound, everything is sending a marketing message. And it has been monetized, so there's always going to be something you could buy that goes along with that. Is that affecting us? Is that affecting our young lives? Absolutely. See, culture is telling us this right now. It's a me-centered universe. Self is the supreme authority. You're above the rules. Make up your own rules. You're better than other people. It's okay to worry about only you and not others. Here's some ads for popular products that are all about this. Me, 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 me. Fabletics brand says this, live your passion. It sounds innocent at first, right? Levi's says this, go your own way. But by the way, while you're going your own way, all of you wear our jeans. They didn't say that part. American Eagle Outfitters says, live your life. Okay, it is what it is. Another one of my favorite phrases. Live your life. Nike says this. This is a mouthful here. I got to read this to you. You are entirely up to you. Make your body. Make your life. Make yourself. Well, is there room for God in that? How about this? Oprah. Oh, excuse me. Threw up in a little in my mouth. Oprah says this. Own your power. Own your power and let your best self shine. That sounds sweet, doesn't it? Unlock your inner superstar. That just leaves us expectations that we're not going to meet, right? Is there anything about give your life to Jesus? Is there anything about your life is not your own? You were bought with a price by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not there. And these brands are trumpeting these messages. And it's appealing. And it's causing a generation and multiple generations to think this. The best way to find your purpose is to look inward. That sounds innocent at first, but really? Look inward? We need to look outward into the spiritual realm that goes beyond our mortal beings, don't we? How about this? The highest life and goal is happiness. I just want to be happy. There is no happiness outside of Christ, and we don't see that in marketing today. Happiness comes from being true to yourself. You got to be true to yourself. That's dangerous. How about this? Personal intuition is the perfect guide to truth. Let me tell you this. I was a teenager several years ago. I was a child several years ago, and I was a young adult several years ago, and I'm still stubborn, and I'm still far from perfect, but I know a few things a little better now than I did then. If you have a few years on you, you know what I'm talking about. So here's what goes on, and here's what happens in our lives. If we're like, hey, I feel like I'm not going to go to work today. I'm just going to stay home. I'm not going to call anybody. I'm going to take me a break. Eventually, what's going to happen? That's going to lead to unemployment. You're in school, so I'm not going to take this exam today. I'm just not feeling it. What's going to happen? That GPA is going downhill. How about I'm not going to spend time with my wife? I'm not going to spend time with my family. How about I'm not going to spend time with my friends? What happens? Those relationships suffer and struggle. So this is terrible advice we're getting from culture soup today. The only way to be fulfilled is to do what feels right. Our emotions are dangerous. They betray us. And how about this? Everyone's own self-expression should be celebrated. Whoa, we're seeing a lot of that, aren't we? You just celebrate yourself and express yourself however you want to. But I'm thinking, when I see some of the things out there, well, please express yourself far away from me, and I don't want to see that, okay? And you just stay away because I don't understand what that means. But I have to remember, Jesus loves everybody, and Jesus cares about all people. And you know what? I was once in the boat where I bought in and believed all of this stuff before I met Jesus. Jesus says this. He says, deny our selfish desires, take up his mission every day, and follow him, which is essentially saying, and what we need to say to ourselves today is it's not about me, myself, and I. It's about you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's about you, Jesus. Goes totally against the culture soup of today. Following your heart leads to the best life, again, if we're listening to the messages that we're seeing and hearing and watching on screens today. But Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You know the answer to that, right? Only Jesus can understand it, only him. So when we go to a marketing firm that has studied my age and knows what my age wants, knows the medical conditions that would happen in my age and knows all that, and they put a product in front of me that may not be the best thing for my life. I need to consult my God on what my God wants me to do, because my heart, if I follow it, will deceive me and will lead to destruction. Today's world is sending a message that is most of the time directly opposed to God's beautiful plan in our lives, that perfect design he has for us, that desire for us to forsake everything else and fully pursue him. So culture sending this message out, and Dr. Kara Powell of the research think tank Fuller Youth Institute, they do studies and release them every 2 years, and I can't wait to get them when they do. And this latest one that talks about this is what our young lives are doing today and what they're seeking in. Me too. I mean, this is it. Identity, belonging, and purpose. Those are innocent things to want, right? But what are we aligning those with? Culture soup? Are we aligning them with the unchanging truth of the Holy Bible? It's questions we must ask, and that creates an environment much like what was happening in the time that Paul was doing his missionary journeys. Now, Laodicea was known as the lukewarm church, and they had become so much like culture, and they wanted to blend in so much they were useless to God. And he said about lukewarm people that they were only fit to be spewed out of his mouth. Get that word picture, right? That's pretty strong. Now, the church at Colossae was probably heading that direction. So as Paul was writing these letters to these churches and the Colossian people, he had that in his mind. And so we're going to look at Colossians 2, 1 through 5 first, and then we'll look at our brief but very deep few verses right after that. So if you're with me, Colossians 2, 1 through 5, I use the New Living Translation. And if you have another translation, nothing wrong with that at all. There's a lot of great ones out there. But verse 1, I want you to know how much I have agonized for you. This is Paul writing to the church at Colossae. I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. He probably never even went to this church, but he kept up with them through other missionaries that he had probably trained up. Verse 2, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. That's why we as a church are supposed to be encouraging each other and knit together by strong ties of love, so we can watch out for these things when culture soup hits us hard. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, the mystery of God's plan is simply in knowing and doing what Jesus taught us and acting in the way that he showed us. This is the path. This is the mystery. He laid it out for us. Now we accept. We received his sacrifice, his forgiveness, even his defeat of death. But it's not just fire insurance. I get to go to heaven now. It's we commit our lives, our very being, what we watch, what we see, how we act, how we see ourselves, our identities to him. So in him lie all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 4. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. Verse 5. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you're living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. He's encouraging them. He had been praying intensely. It was obvious if you look at how he worded that. He'd been praying for them intently even though he had never met them. He had a deep desire to see them and all churches succeed for the glory of God, to bond together, to help each other stay the course through the difficulties of life and the changing tides of culture, to be completely confident that what they had learned about Jesus was true and is his mysterious plan and will carry them through until the day they step from this earth into heaven. He desired them not be deceived by silver-tongued orators and philosophers or skilled debaters and slick marketers, those ones that give you these dangerous lines of thinking that contradict the way, the truth, the life that is Jesus. So, now we got to consider what this means to us today. This is the application. This is the heart of the outline. There's just 3 points to it there. There's a tiny space if you want to write it down in your bulletin, down below the other outline. But if you don't, if you just want to listen along, I pray that you just grasp this truth because it is straight from the Word of God. So God inspired Paul to write this to them, and I'm glad you're along for this today. Question one. There's 3 questions. This is the first one. What is your identity rooted in? This is Colossians 2, 6 through 7. If you aren't sure, by the way, we're going to read this, but if you aren't sure what it's rooted in, the marketing experts, the self-help profiteers, Taylor Swift, Sabrina Carpenter, Disney, the Atlanta movie and streaming studio scene, and social media, they'll tell you. They'll be glad to tell you. Here's what Paul says, though, Colossians 2, 6 through 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. It doesn't just stop at acceptance. And when that happens, we either have a weak Christian or we didn't get what he had for us at all. We're just like, yeah, that sounds good, I believe, but really we don't. We're not living that way. Continue to follow Jesus. How do you do that? You spend time with God daily. You read this Bible. You want to hear from God? Read the Bible. You want to hear God speak to you? Read it out loud. This is how God speaks to us. Verse 7. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. The faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. See, for my identity, for your identity, for a real sense of belonging, and for unwavering purpose to life, This is the way, the truth, the life that is Jesus Christ. When you imagine a tree and you see a tree uprooted, there's one right now on that bypass back road to the massively huge Mount Berry Mall. And as you go that way, if you look right now, there's one in the pasture, and you see the root ball or the root, and not really deep, and you can see why a tree fell over. But these massive, beautiful oak trees you see, if we could go underground and see, it's just as massive of a root system underground. And how do we get rooted in Christ like that? By being disciples, by daily putting effort in to know and understand him and apply his teachings to our life. So number two, what is trying to capture your identity? What is out there trying to capture your identity? Colossians 2:8 says this, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ." Everything here on earth, from the most brilliant minds, is complete emptiness if it does not originate and stand firmly on the one absolute truth that is in the Scripture. Dr. Jamie D. is the president of New Orleans Seminary and a very humble, godly guy, and he's very interesting to listen to. If you ever want to look him up on YouTube, but he reminds us of this. We are hunted daily, friends. All of us are hunted daily. You think about deer hunting, and you think about when hunting season's in, and you're hunting, you're gonna get the better of that deer, right? You got a plan. If you know what you're doing, you got this figured out, you know what kind you're looking for. The enemy is out there hunting us every day. The enemy, Satan. He is very real. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be sober-minded and be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a lion looking for anyone he can devour." John 10:10, very famous verse. The thief, that's the enemy, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jamie D. also reminded us this past weekend about how Satan customizes elaborate traps for us because he studies us and knows us, and he's evil, he's patient, and he's willing to wait so he can maximize destruction and death in our lives. So he will customize it. He knows my and your weaknesses. He knows our temptation buttons. He knows how to push those buttons, and he is after us, hunting us through it. And culture and marketing today, as much as I love marketing and I love keeping up with culture and I love creative entertainment and I love music and I love movies and I love TV shows and I love video shorts, especially the funny ones and the one with furry little animals in them, all those things affect my life. All those things you watch affect your life. And if we're not cautious, those traps are laid in between those innocent, cute little capybara videos and cute little baby possum videos, or baby possum's cute. All those things, right there, the trap is set, and he's after us. He wants us, and he's using those messages to destroy us and destroy our young lives that we have around us today. So how do you protect yourself against that? He's the ultimate identity thief. He's looking to rip your identity out and replace it with misery, wanting you to consume everything you see in an ad, wanting you to watch every bit of entertainment, even if it takes you down a path that you know goes against his scripture. He is after you every day. How do you protect yourself? Well, you have to discover our last point today is how you have a complete identity and where it comes from. So here's the third question, the last question. Is your identity complete? And I ask myself these same questions. I'm not picking at you, I'm picking at me too. Is your identity complete? Colossians 2:9-10 says this, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." He knows what temptation felt like. He lived it. He walked it. He was a teenager. He was a young adult. Yet he never sinned once. "In Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body," verse 10. "So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Jesus is over all these things. He's only going to let them go on for so long, and then it's enough. He's done. And what's going to remain? What's going to remain 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now? What's going to remain of us? Our souls. He is going to be the same constant he was since before time. That's all that remains. Fads will continue on. They'll find more ways to get your money, whether it be the latest, greatest water bottle of the year, or whether it be something much more unhealthy than that, that you see an image of and you click and then you buy into. And many of you may know what I'm hinting at there. But verse 10 says you are complete through your union in Christ. So your identity, your purpose, the value of you is not based in what you wear and what you listen to and what somebody else tells you is cool or the right way. Your value is based in that when you believe and trust Jesus and you give your life to Him, that you are complete only through Him. Jesus is fully God, so He makes you and me whole when we trust Him and when we believe in Him. We don't need anything extra to feel complete. The world wants us to think we do, but we don't. And when we fall into that trap, we become miserable, unhappy people. And it costs marriages, it costs reputations, and it costs money. It costs everything that affects us and our lives. So why not find worth in Christ alone? Proverbs 14, tell me, read a few Proverbs real quick before we wrap. Proverbs 14, 2 says this, those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise Him. I love Proverbs, they're blunt. They just tell it like it is, and they kick me in the seat a lot when I read them. Proverbs 14:3 says this, a fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him, but the words of the wise keep them safe. A fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him, but the words of the wise keep them safe. If you tune into any kind of news, any kind of media, any kind of quick tidbits on TikTok or wherever, you're going to see a lot of fool's talk going on out there. I'm not judging, I'm just telling you it's there. Look at it, compare it with the Bible. If it doesn't align, what is it? It's fool's talk, okay? Proverbs 14:11 says, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the godly will flourish. House, tent. I got stuck on those words when I was looking at this. The house of the wicked, it might be a big, massive mansion. There's nothing wrong with having a big, massive mansion if your life is dedicated to Christ. But we're thinking, let's talk about people who dedicate their life to building the next thing, to creating the next fad, to becoming more viral on social media, on TikTok, to those who always seek more worldly recognition. You look at that. Those houses, they're going down. They'll be destroyed. But the tent, the humility, humbly, the simplicity of a person dedicating their life to Christ and building their identity on Him will flourish in heaven. How great is that? And we'll have peace and purpose here on earth, even if there's not a lot of money involved with that. Finally, Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. A path before each person? That sounds good. I think I'll do that. That's the culture soup I want. Death follows. So when you have your ladle out and you dip it into the culture soup out there and you pull it up to the light to have a look at the contents, maybe even a little bit without breathing back into it, let the truth of God be your filter in that. Let the truth of God be your filter in that. Now, think about this. When you're seeking to know yourself better, I want to be more self-aware. Let the Bible be your mirror. When you want to feel a greater sense of belonging, let your relationship with Christ be where that loneliness ends. Take effort, get away, find a quiet place and spend time with Him. And by the way, let His church be your community, a place to find friendships, relationships that encourage each other. And how about this? When you want to know your purpose for this time in your life right now, know that in your home, in your neighborhood, in your classroom, in your school, on your team, in your band, in your club, and online, in your profession, in your social life, in your travels, in your retirement, in your volunteer roles in this church, that your purpose is this, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here's my prayers for you today. I'm going to pray again in a moment here, but here's my prayers for you today. May God, may your identity be rooted in Christ. And may you grow deeper in Him daily as you pray and study the Bible in your own personal times of quietness. If you need resources and help with that, I'd love to talk to you about it afterward. How about this? Another prayer for you. May you not be captured by the empty marketing, the musical messages, the social media posts, the videos, the product ads that promote the emptiness and downright lies of following your heart and making your own truth. And may you find rest in knowing that you're truly complete only in Christ by his sacrifice for your sins on a criminal's cross that he did not deserve to die on. Jesus truly is. Friends, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Nobody gets to heaven, nobody finds peace and purpose in life without him. So do you have questions about knowing Jesus today? Let's talk. I'm going to be down front in here. Donnie Payne's going to be down front over in the FLC. If you're not comfortable coming down front, I totally respect that. I'd love to talk to you outside today out here. We'll talk. If you know Jesus already, this is not time to check out and take a break. It's not time to get up and go to the bathroom, go to the water fountain. If you know Jesus, this is time for you to consider this question. What do you need to resurrender to him that you've consumed from this culture soup? I have to do it every day. I see something when I'm scrolling, I'm like, oh, I didn't need to see that. God, I am sorry. Get my mind back on you. What do you need to do that with? Pause during this song that's coming up and realign. Let God reshape you. Repent if you need to. Or just say, hey, you know what? I'm struggling with this. I haven't stepped over into sin yet, so God, give me the courage and strength to not step into sin. Now, here's another one to think about. If you're like, yeah, I'm okay with God right now. I'm not perfect, but I'm okay with God right now. But I want to do something for him. Well, here's what you can do. If you know somebody that needs to be here with you right now, like somebody you know needs to be here this morning. They just slept late, or they went somewhere else besides church, or they don't even know what a church is, or feels like, or sounds like, or smells like. Pause and pray for them during this song. Put one of our invite cards. We got a bunch of these. I got them in my pocket right now. And they're on stands in there. They're easy to take with you. Put one in their hand or just, hey, do this. Send them a text and inform them that they'll be coming with you to church this Wednesday night or Sunday. I don't know how that's going to go over, but it's worth a try. Communicate with them. We'll never know if we don't ask. And they may never know Jesus and never know the joy that he offers and never know how much better he is than pop culture today if we are not the ones that tell him. So we're going to pray now. And there may be some moving around in the room here and over in the FLC because our musicians are going to be taking their places while I pray. Don't let that distract you. They're just here to honor and worship God too. And if you need to stay seated during the invitation and pray, or you need to come down here and pray or come down to the front in the FLC and pray, you have the freedom to do that. If you need somebody to pray with you and you don't want to come up front with me, there's people sitting out here and there's people in our FLC. If you just look around and friends, if that's you and you look around, you be looking around and see if you see somebody. Is it polite to look around the invitation? It is today. Be looking around. If you see somebody kind of looking like, hey, you know, you want to pray, just kind of motion. Make it awkward a minute, but you never know what kind of faith conversation you have. And you never know what needs you might be able to meet in someone's life or someone meet in your life honoring Jesus. Either way, respond to him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may we seek you personally. May we seek you humbly. May we seek you diligently and consistently, knowing that only through being rooted in you, we won't be robbed of our identities by the enemy, who is customizing a plan to captivate, to capture us, and ruin our lives. May we respond now without distraction and without reservation. It's in your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.